Yeah, I have a chance to every couple of years, as like many of you do, watch the Olympics, right? Maybe you watch the opening ceremonies. They're always a wee bit odd to me just because there's a lot of weird stuff that goes on during it. I like just watching the nations march in. The other parts of it are kind of, I'm not really sure what's going on all the time. There was some tiger stuff, and anyway, it was odd, a little odd. That's fine. That part's fine. I like to watch the nations come in, and of course, the U.S. comes, and all the nations. It's really fascinating, to watch, though, some of these countries. Like, you could name them, and you could give me days, and I could never find them on a map, okay? I mean, say, this country, and they got 32,000 people in the whole country, and there's always that one athlete. But what a deal, to walk out and say, I am representing my country, And it was really cool to see some of those real small countries come out and to do that. And I thought, man, what a day for that country. I mean, I imagine those folks are just glued to that, watching that, as many in America are too. But man, what a deal like that. And then it's always funny to me in the Winter Olympics to have desert countries, with winter deal. It's just funny to me. Israel and some other desert countries have got a ski team or something. I'm like, okay. So there you go. But I'm thinking through that this week. We're going to continue. I promise this has a point here in just a minute. We're talking about 1 Corinthians. We're talking about this idea of today. We're going to talk about running the race and about training and about the endurance that brings. And I'll hit some of those points in a minute. But, man, just what a deal. What an idea of what it must take for that one athlete, out of that country of 32,000 to qualify for the Olympics. And, boy, he had to give his life to it, his or her life to it, just training and striving for that goal. And then to walk through that stadium, with your flag. Man, what a day that must be. Well, I tell you, folks, the Christian life is a race, and Paul uses that metaphor many times. It's totally not a sprint, usually, is it? It's a marathon that we run and that we keep running and that we strive after. And boy, today, as I preach this message, I pray that you're just encouraging the fact that we've been called to give our lives, just like an Olympic athlete, all that we have and all that we are, for the sake of the gospel. And I wonder sometimes, and I introspectively thought this week, Lord, I got to tell you, that kind of dedication we usually reserve for those elite athletes. God, may we be found this week as men and women and boys and girls that give our life for the gospel with that kind of dedication. So we're in a series. We're still in our series one, looking through parts of 1 Corinthians. I told you that my point in all of this was for us to remember that God was always faithful, even in the fickleness and even in the sin, even in the difficulties of humanity. God is always faithful, and he is the one who reminds us in Scripture and the writings of Paul that we are to be one church. We are to be one church proclaiming one message, the gospel. And we are to be glorifying one Savior. That's my prayer. I told you that was my prayer as we begin the year as a church body here at Grace. May we be unified. May we preach the gospel in everything that we do. And may we glorify our Savior in each and everything that happens here at Grace. And that's my prayer. And I believe that was certainly Paul's prayer for the church at Corinth. A few weeks ago, we looked at his message of the church and how we are to use our gifts to his glory, how we're supposed to be sustained by his faithfulness. We were reminded that wisdom comes from God and from his Spirit. We talked about how to give God total control, and to do that, we had to fight the battle of ourself. We had to fight the battle of man, and we had to fight the battle of works. And then last week, we talked about how our present circumstances, no matter what they are a gift from God, and how we can have that perspective on everything that we do and understand that those are indeed a gift from God. This week, we're going to talk about total freedom. When we think about freedom, many times we think about, well, I can do whatever I want to do. And yeah, that's really kind of a loose definition of freedom. We many times define freedom in terms of our country, which we certainly are thankful for that freedom. We're not talking about necessarily that kind of freedom today. We're talking about a freedom found in Christ. What does it mean to be free? What does it mean to have freedom? And it really, to kind of summarize, it goes to the point of, are we living in freedom? And in that freedom, are we living with eternity in mind? Kind of like I talked about that Olympic example. Do we have eternity in mind? Do we have the end goal in mind? And that's what Paul's going to talk about us today, is everything that we're doing, is everything that we're striving after, things that are pleasing to God, things that are glorifying God, and things that are making the name of Jesus more and more known. So if you have your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is where we'll be today. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Boy, I've got something in my eye. I'm sorry. It's killing me. You ever have that problem first thing in the morning? Ugh. I'm sorry. If I itch my eye the whole day, it's not that I've got a twitch or something. It's something bothering me. Goodness gracious. Lord, don't let this be a distraction. I'm sorry. All right, chapter 9 for Paul is a lengthy chapter that we're not going to have time to look at the whole thing today, just for the sake of time, and I want to put the emphasis toward the end of the chapter. Paul begins this chapter really with a whole discourse on, this is who I am. I'm Paul. I'm an apostle. And because I'm an apostle and because I'm called to preach, I really have some rights in that. One of the rights that I have in that calling to be apostle is that it's okay if I get paid to preach the gospel. He said, but for some people, you got to realize that was a real stumbling block. He said, now, the only people we know in Corinth that want to get paid are usually swindlers. Or people who come in and who, you know, say, well, I'll give you this magic formula or whatever you want, but I'm going to need the money up front. And so Paul was very careful against that. And he spent chapter 9 really saying to them, hey, you know what? Because of that, I won't even get paid. Even though I really can get paid to do the gospel, I won't take any money from you, Corinth. I'll do the work of the church. I'll do the work of the gospel. I'll do the preaching. I'll do all these things. He says in verse 16, I preach the gospel that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. He says, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. This is a guy that's passionate about preaching, and he's going to do anything he can to preach the gospel. He says, even if that means I don't even get paid for it. Paul would spend time being a tent maker, literally, just so he wouldn't have to take money from people to be a stumbling block to them. We're going to pick up in verse 19, and let's look at the end of the chapter and see what Paul's trying to say and what he might be saying to us today as we look here in verse 19 through the end of the chapter. Here's what Paul says. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all. Why? That I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. Verse 23, I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them in its blessing. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. May God bless the reading and the teaching of His Word today. As we look at these verses together, we see that this end of chapter 9 literally spells out to the church and spells out to us today Paul's position in a couple of ways. His position in terms of his personal relationships. Bless you, Steve. Good grief. I am sorry, folks. I feel like I'm about to lose my right eye here. Excuse me. So at the end of this chapter, Paul spells out to the church his position. This is who I am. This is where I strive for. This is what I work toward. I work toward making sure that people know the gospel, that people know the truth of who Jesus is. It's this single-mindedness, this single focus that he has. Boy, I'd love to be single-minded. I talked to you about this last week. Sometimes I am, what's the word for more than five? A lot-minded, okay? So we get to a place where we just, Lord, help me be single-minded, because all I can think about is the 400 other things that are running through my mind. Paul says, whatever I do, those 400 things or whatever are all tied to the gospel. You think, well, how do you do that? And Paul does a good job in not specific terms, because I think it's hard for us to be specific because of the fact that we're all different. And we all, nobody does things the way you do they? You know that when somebody comes to your house, right? You're like, or when you go to their house, right? Nobody does it like you do, because your way's right, right? Everybody else's is kind of just wrong, right? So he says, when you have this single-mindedness, you realize that Paul says, I've got to be who I am, but while I'm being who I'm being, that's a lot of words, sorry, I've got to do that for the sake of the gospel. I've got to point people to Jesus in everything that I do. Now, the Corinthians were having a problem. They said, well, I tell you what, that sounds good. I like this freedom. That means, well, I can just do whatever I need to do to get people to Jesus. And they forgot morality, you know, and obedience. And they carried things too far. And they said, well, I'm winning people. And Paul's like, you got to be careful. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, this idea of balance. Can freedom be a good thing? Absolutely. Can freedom be a bad thing? Absolutely. So we have to balance out this idea of what freedom looks like. As Paul says, you got to be careful. Romans chapter 6, verse 1, you probably know this verse. Paul says, should I just keep on sinning so that grace can abound more and more? In other words, well, since I'm free and since I'm forgiven, shouldn't I just keep on sinning and doing this? And Paul says emphatically, by no means. No. So Paul says the same thing to the church at Corinth. He said, church, I want you to understand. Verse 23 says it really well. I do it all, Paul says, for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them, and that them is universal, really, that I may share with them in its blessings. I'll give you a couple of things here. These are just general themes, and then we'll look at a few specific things. I mentioned Paul living life with eternity in mind. Being eternity-minded. I think to Paul what that meant, and I found this, and I won't give myself credit for this because I certainly didn't come up with it, but it says this. Living life in the light of eternity is doing evangelism with integrity. Doing evangelism with integrity means doing evangelism not in a way that compromises who we are in Christ, or his moral standards, or his attribute. You understand, we do evangelism with integrity. We do it the right way. When we live life with eternity in mind, we're okay with relationships that require us to adapt a little bit. In other words, we're not afraid to relate to people who are lost. We're not afraid to spend time with people who are lost. And lastly, when we live life in the light of eternity, we also realize that means that we are called to a personal holiness, a single-minded personal holiness. This is not anybody else's business. This is about me. Paul says, I got to do evangelism with integrity. I got to adapt and meet new people, sometimes out of my comfort zone. But in the middle of all of that, I've got to keep myself holy. And I got to keep myself pure. You stand back and look from that and go, that's a big calling. You bet it is. You bet it is. And Paul knew that. And he spoke to the church at Corinth here, and he gave a few examples. He said three things. Kind of, he said, first of all, to the Jews, I can become a Jew. Now, was Paul a Jew? Yeah. Born a Jew? Raised a Jew? Taught Jew? Learned all the rules? I mean, understood all of these things? And he said, I am a Jew. But what is most important to me, Paul says, is that I'm a servant to all. It's not my identity. It's not my upbringing. It's not my education. I sacrifice these things. I live life in the light of eternity. Why? And you probably saw this word in there a lot. It's the word win and winning. Why do I do these things? So that I might win some, or so that people might be won. Or that we think about this word win and winning, and we used to call it, y'all remember the day when you go out soul winning? You know what I'm talking about? We go out and say, we're going to go out soul winning. We do that still. We just don't call it that anymore, I guess. You know, we go out and we go out soul winning. And I'm going to say this because this is important. What Paul is saying, I am not talking about trivial matters. Do you understand that people's eternal destiny hangs in the balance when you talk about winning? This is more than just convincing someone that you are right. It's convincing people that hell is real, that sin is real, and that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And it changes eternity. Now, is that a minor conversation to have with someone? No. It's a life-changing conversation to have with someone. And so Paul says, I do these things because men's and women's eternal destiny is at stake. Their eternal destiny. I'm not just preaching to people. I pray to make them feel good about themselves or to even feel bad about yourself. I pray that we're sharing the gospel because we desire people to not die in their sin and be separated from God for eternity. May we preach the gospel so that people can be won to Christ. I don't know how else to say that's heavy. It's a heavy burden. Paul says, I do all this so that I might win some. And boy, you can take this verse 19, and you say, verse 20, all these things, I become all things. I'm sorry, verse 22, he says, I become all things to all people. And you can take that and you can run with that way too far, okay? You can take that and go, well, that means, okay, I'm going to be a murderer to relate to the murderers, you know, or it's not what it's saying, okay? I don't become all things to all people because we still, Paul says, have to be held to this personal holiness that we're called to. He says, what am I being? I'm going to be a servant to all people. I'm going to become a servant to all people. Martin Luther, you guys know Martin Luther, started the Reformation 500 years ago, last fall. He said it like this, it's a paradox. A Christian is the most free man of all, subject to none. Amen. We're free in Jesus. But he said a Christian is also a servant of all and subject to all. What a paradox. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free from my sin. I'm free. But yet I am a servant to all. And we try to balance that out somehow, don't we? And we try to wrap our minds around that. And that's what Paul says. That's me, church. If I need to be a Jew, If I need to talk to a man about the law, I can talk to a man about the law. If you need me to talk to a man about Judaism, Paul says, I lived as a Jew. I was born as a Jew. I was raised as a Jew, and I can talk about Judaism until you're blue in the face. But the other part of Judaism that we miss sometimes is the racial part of Judaism. Do you understand? There was a racial problem between Jews and Gentiles, and we sometimes forget that. We think it's just about religion. But it was actually very much about a racial gap that existed between Jews and Gentiles, or Cushites, or whatever the rest of the world was. They kind of used Gentiles as just overarching anybody that wasn't a Jew, but there's still a lot of races that were happening back then. And Paul says, I understand that my race doesn't matter as much as I once thought that it did. And boy, it speaks to us today, and we're doing better at it, that we... What a freedom that we find when we realize that we relate to people as human beings and not as races. What a freeing thing for Paul when he realized that I relate to people not because of color or upbringing or any of these things. I relate to them because they are human, made in the image of God. Man, what a freeing thing for us churches, for us to make sure we've got our eyes open like Paul did, saying, I may be this race and you may be another race, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we both have the opportunity to be free from our sins. And since we both have the opportunity to be free from our sins, I'm going to relate to you as my brother or my sister. Church, make sure we're being faithful to the call like Paul to be all things to all people, regardless of race or the biases that that brings. And then Paul said also, for those under the law, those not under the law, I can relate to those people. You know, in the first five books of the Old Testament, there's around 600 statutes that the Jews live by. How would you like it if I passed out to you all 600 rules when you join Grace? Okay? These are 600 rules. Oh, by the way, I'm going to write some new ones every year when they come to me. Okay? Now you understand Judaism a little bit, okay? It's like, we got these rules in the Pentateuch, and by the way, when we get some new ones, we'll just write those down too, and you'll need to follow those as well. If you don't, yeah, you're going to owe me, okay? That's kind of what they were talking about. They were like, we got this law, there's a lot of stuff, and Paul says, I know the law. And if you want to talk about the law, Paul said, I once thought the law was what set me free. Now I realize that the law is what shackled me. And it was a lie, and it was a trap. But if you need me to talk about the law and I can tell you all about the law, then I'll tell you about the law. You need me to tell you about being out of the law, I'll tell you the freedom that comes in being out of the law. You understand, Paul said, you can bring me a situation and I'll be sure that I can relate it back to Jesus, because I'll tell you what he's done in my life. The law was what was supposed to be life, but it was in fact death. He says, I'm not trapped in that anymore. And he mentions toward the end in verse 22, he says, to the weak, I could come weak that I might win the weak. And that's interesting. That verse is always kind of puzzling to me a little bit, and I looked into it a little more this week. The strong and the weak argument actually goes back to chapter 8, where Paul was talking to them about food sacrificed to idols. And I know we hadn't covered this. I'll give you a quick summary. Basically, he's saying, some of you are eating food that's been sacrificed to idols. And Paul says, I really don't care, because idols are dumb and they're worthless anyway. It's Justin paraphrase. Sorry, he said, you know, I don't care about idol meat, because an idol is nothing. But, some of you who are weak in your faith, in other words, who are new Christians, you're getting hung up in this. So if you're strong in your faith, you might just abstain from eating the meat from idols so you don't cause a weaker brother to stumble. You understand this thing of doing something good so that you might help other people? Like we talked about, I'm a servant, and so I'll forego my rights. And so Paul is talking here back to that same word, weak. He's saying, if I don't need to eat meat, and that's just one example, sacrifice to idols, I won't do it. I'll become weak if I need to become weak. In other words, am I willing to do what it takes to make sure people understand the gospel? Now, we don't like this, do we? We're like, but I'm free. I like meat, you know? It's not about me, by the way. That's just an example, okay? But I like to do X or Y or Z, and I'm strong enough to do this thing. What about the person sitting across the table from you who's lost? Or the person that's watching you, or the co-worker that's listening to you? Paul's saying, can you become weak for the sake of winning that person to Christ? That's a high calling, church. It's a difficult calling. Paul says, but I'll do that if that's what it takes to win the weak. What freedom and versatility that Paul had. And you're like, man, this is good. Good stuff, reminders for me. And I'll tell you, Paul, though, ends this with some warnings. And I think we've got to pay attention to those as we close this morning. To be free, to be truly free, requires discipline, doesn't it? It requires discipline. For the lack of a better term, the Corinthians were getting a little spiritually flabby. You know what I'm talking about? A little spiritually flabby. And they were using their freedom as an excuse to just kind of do their own thing and go their own way. And so Paul takes us to this athletic metaphor. I alluded to this earlier. And it's pretty interesting. I don't know if you know this. The city of Corinth hosted a games every couple of years. Not the Olympics. They were called the Isthmian. They were on an isthmus. That's hard to say. What is that? The isthmus. Look that up in your book, okay? I don't know how to say it right. I struggle with that all week. It's like, I'm going to butcher this word. I know I am. It was a games like the Olympics. They had it in Corinth every year. So Paul used a metaphor that they would understand, okay? He said to them, you remember the games? He said, you know, in the games, they come and they train. If you're going to be free in Christ, you're going to understand that you're going to have to discipline yourself. You're going to have to discipline yourself to this. You're going to have to train for it. And he says in verse 24, you know, in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize. So run like you might obtain it. Now, be careful there. It's not like we're going to all run the Christian race and only one of you is going to make it to heaven. That's not what it says. Could it be you? No, I'm just kidding. That's not what it says, okay? Totally do not quote that or put that anywhere on video. It's not what it says. It says, he's giving a metaphor again. All of them run, but only one of them, you know, is going to win the prize. And they'd win you guys have probably seen this, they'd win a wreath, you know, a bound, like kind of branches type deal. That was their, they didn't have gold medals back then. They won a wreath. He says, that's good and fine, he says, but I want you to run after it. That's going to die. It's going to break. It's going to be gone. I want you to run after something that's eternal. I want you to run after something that's never going to end. I want you to run after something that is imperishable. He says, I do that, and we exercise self-control to do this. And verse 26, he uses some boxing metaphors. He says, I don't run aimlessly. I don't box as one beating the air. You know, that's a weird deal. And you ever watch, you know, somebody, I liked Garth Brooks back in the day, and one of his best albums was Rope in the Wind. I always liked that. I don't know why. Random thoughts that I have while writing sermons. You know, I just, you know, talk about boxing the air and rope. You know, the whole point of it's futility, right? It's futile. It makes no, you know, what good does it do to do any of those things, right? You don't box the air, rope the wind, or do any of these things. You're just wasting your time. And then Paul says, it's interesting, he says, I literally, in verse 27, I have to discipline my body and keep it under control. And a better translation of that is literally, I pummel my body. I have to beat my body to keep myself under self-control. There's no easy options or self-indulgence or routes, you know, that we can take that are shortcuts to spiritual freedom. I mean, it's a discipline. I tell people all the time, you know, they get frustrated because they say, man, I just feel like I'm always struggling. You bet. It's a daily discipline, you know? We get up every morning, and his mercies are new every morning. And that means that we don't just get up and go, well, today I'm probably not going to struggle. Look, if you start with that mindset, I guarantee you, you're going to run into problems. You know, God, today I know that I'm going to be tempted. And today that I know I'm going to be, in my freedom to let people know you, may I live a life that's holy. May I live a life that's striving after you. May I tell people about Jesus in the way that I live. May I tell people about Jesus in the way that I talk. And Lord, sometimes I may need to literally pummel my body, not physically, but metaphorically. Lord, help me to beat up myself, if you will, so that you can shine through. That's what Paul says. I do all these things so that people will be won to Jesus. He says in this, what does that look like? Well, it means in freedom, I may need to reach out to people that are different than me. I may need to reach out to people that don't speak the same language as me. I may need to reach out to people that are different color than me. I may need to reach out to people that think differently than me and try to find common ground. But in doing that, I've got to be careful that I don't get sucked in to the world and get sucked into being so free. The next thing you know, I'm caught up in the very sin that I'm trying to preach against. So when we think about freedom, I'm going to give you a word today, and the word is balance. Balance. And I've got two questions for you here that relate to balance. And I know I've given a ton of info, so I'm going to try to summarize this in two questions. Two questions of how do we balance freedom when we want to be all things to all people, but we want to win people to Jesus. And the first question is this. It just says, am I becoming more worldly minded than I'm becoming spiritually minded? Now, this is an introspective question for you. Because what happens is sometimes we take our freedom. Here's what we do. We say, I am a Christian. I am free from my sin. And God, Christ has forgiven me. So therefore, I can kind of just do what I want to do, and I'm forgiven. We go to that Romans 6 passage again. We're just like, I'm good. And Paul is saying, just be careful that you're not trending toward this idea of being more worldly minded than you are striving toward being spiritually minded. Do you see the balance, the delicate balance that exists for that? You say, well, should I ever become more worldly minded? I'm not saying that. I'm saying, though, sometimes we have to, and Paul would say this, we have to at least think about what lost worldly people are, where are they? And go and meet them there. Again, not compromising our morals, not compromising our integrity, but how do we relate to them if we have no idea? Here's the problem. We can separate ourselves so much that we'll never have anything to do with anybody that's lost. You ever thought about that? Is that a dangerous deal that we separate ourselves so much that we get to a place where we just kind of come and, don't get me wrong, I think believers have to gather together and that's good, but if that's all that we know and the only people that we know, how will they ever hear? Did Jesus hang out just with the disciples? I saw him hanging around with a lot of rough folks, didn't he? But when we hang out with folks who aren't in Christ, we got to make sure that we are not becoming minded like them. We are influencing them with the things of Christ. You understand? I told you it's a delicate balance. We have to be on our guard. Secondly, along the same lines, here's the question. Is my passion for winning friends and family growing or is it shrinking? Is my passion for winning friends and family growing or is it shrinking? You desire to see the people that you love and the people that you work with, even the people that you sit around the Thanksgiving table with. Do you desire to see those people saved? Do you desire to have them have heaven as their eternal home? I want that to be my passion, Lord. I want that to be my my goal. I want that to be my mindset in these things. And Lord, forgive me when that passion shrinks, because honestly, I'll use the me here. It's really easy for us to get caught up in what I need or what I want or my issues or my problems. Lord, may you renew our passion for our friends and our family and for them to be one to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's the sum of the matter, church, this morning. Let me make this abundantly clear. Jesus Christ died so that people might be set free from their sin. Do you believe that today? Jesus Christ died so that you can be set free. Free from the wrath of God, free from the law, free from ritual, free from, you can fill in the blanks and all these things. He died to set us free. Hallelujah, that he set me free. But in my freedom, am I using my freedom to make that good news clear to the world around me, to my family, to my friends? I can go to one extreme and separate myself so far that I only associate with those who are just like me. Or I can go the other way and I can associate only with those who are so worldly that nobody knows any difference. They think I'm just like one of the world. You see, I've got to find balance. I've got to find balance. May the Lord grant today that we use our freedom to be like Paul, to be a servant of all. Why? Just because we want to feel good about ourselves? To be a servant of all just because we want somebody to say, man, you're a servant of all? No. May we use our freedom today to be a servant of all. Let me have you underline this if you're underliner. So that I might win some. So that people might be won to the good news of Jesus Christ. That's my prayer for Grace. It's my prayer for me. It's my prayer for you. May he be glorified in all that we do. Let's bow together for just a moment. I pray today that you're here and you have accepted the good news that Jesus is your Savior. You have called out to him and have repented of your sin and asked him to be Lord of your life. And if you've done that, then guess what? You're free. You're free from bondage today. You're free from sin. If you're here today and maybe you have not said yes to that freedom that Jesus offers, then you are still in chains. You are in bondage. And if the Holy Spirit has convicted your heart that you need to be transformed by the repenting of your sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, then today our prayer partners will be available. I'll be available at the front. The beautiful part of the saving of souls is that it takes place sometimes just through the reading of God's word or the hearing. So maybe today nothing I said necessarily had anything to do with that, but God has convicted your heart. I pray you'd have the freedom to move today, to move toward Jesus, to move toward salvation. For the rest of us today who are in Christ, maybe today we just need to say, Lord, I need to evaluate my relationships. I need to evaluate who I spend time with. I need to evaluate my love for the lost. I need to evaluate my love for my friends and family. I need to balance out, Lord, who I spend my time with. May we focus today on the freedom that we have to give away more than we desire to receive and to live life with eternity in mind. So, Father God, we come to you today. We thank you for the chance to read your word, to hear your word. God, I pray that you're glorified in your, Lord, just in your house today, Lord, with your people. May we be challenged today to, Lord, just to live our life in the light of eternity. Maybe somebody came to mind today. Maybe some person in our work or in our path, Lord, that we need to just speak to this week. Lord, may we be passionate about winning people to the gospel, to the truth, to the freedom that Jesus Christ brings. So God, as we stand and sing in just a moment, may you have your way. May you pierce our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.